Hello there and welcome to another episode of the Total Water Polo Podcast. We're back in our beautiful studio in Zagreb and we will bring you a very special guest shortly. But just before we start, don't forget to like, subscribe to this podcast and follow us on all of our platforms. There will be some links in the show notes for that. And if you do appreciate what we do, and of course you're able to, please do consider donating and supporting us on our Patreon account. We appreciate that massively, and we will also leave a link in the show notes for that. So now to introduce a player that doesn't really need an introduction. He's the best player in the world, as voted for unanimously by you guys, the fans, the world's top coaches and players. A very warm welcome to Gergo Zielanki. Now, before we start, I believe this is yours. Your award. Welcome to the podcast and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
This is your award.
Thank you.
It's been nicely made, so there we are. You've really, really, thank you. Really well deserved, I think. Nice. So first and foremost, we want to talk about this award. I don't need to highlight how prestigious it is, as I've said. Players, coaches, every player wants to be recognised by their peers, their players and their coaches. So let's reflect on last year. Now we're in 2024. How do you reflect on an amazing year for you?
Thank you very much, and I'm greeting everyone. So the last year was nearly perfect, like with the club, with the national team, like my whole year as personally, with the family, it was amazing. And I will never forget this year, especially with this award. It really means a lot. I saw the players who won this before, and to be in this group, it's really honorable. I always dream about to be the best in the world, but now I need to compete against to win it this year. But back to the last year, it was really amazing how we and we with the two teams went forward to the game, especially with the Pareco. I joined there, this is my third year, and when I joined and I get used to their mentality, it's really, really amazing how they going forward and how they reach the finals with this. They want to beat everyone, don't care who is coming in front of you, you need to be better in that moment. And with that mentality, I try to be in the national team too. I try to talk to the other players to be like this, to never mind if somebody is maybe better than us, we can beat them together. And I think after years especially in the national team, we have a good relationship inside the team with everyone. And I think this was the decision maker thing, that we have a very good connection, and we now can fight for each other. What was in Pareco, what was like a normal thing, to fight and to not care who scores the goal or who is the best player. We only care that we need to win. And I think we can, and I can help a lot to get this mentality in the national team. So we did this, like we went to the World Championship to Fukuoka, like this mentality, to not just be in the top four and be in the semifinal, or we wanted to win that one. So it was a very, very, very nice, like how we and me myself to get this mentality, because before that I was not like this. We will speak about this.
Yeah, I'm really interested in you talking about mentality, and we will come back to that. But just last year, in the most perfect of years, is there one moment that I think stands above the rest? Was it that Champions League in Belgrade? Was it the World Championships? Or was it something that we don't necessarily know about, the highlight of your year?
Maybe it's a hard because the Champions League was really different, especially with that 4 minute exclusion, and we made that 4 minutes like we nearly won that that 4 minutes man down, and it was really amazing feeling that we handled that three games so amazingly that everybody told me in Hungary and everywhere that it was too easy for us, and I said that it was really hard. We just trained so hard, we practiced and focused so hard that maybe it looked easier, but it was very hard. And on the other hand, the World Championship was like totally different because every game was so hard. Even when we played the Croatia in the group stage, we won by one goal or maybe two, I don't remember. And then the quarterfinal, semifinal, final was so close game, and I felt like we were lucky, and we won because we wanted more to win. So with the courage, with fire, we can move a little bit forward by quarter, and so the two teams was like totally different, and that's why it's so special that this Fukuoka, before that I didn't thought about that we went to this Los Angeles World Cup, and we were at the end at the I don't remember which place we finished.
I think it was fourth because there was that crazy USA game, yes, where you had to come,
yes,
back after,
yes,
an hour.
Yes. Yeah, and after that we went back to Hungary and we had a tough week because we saw that the tactics are not good. We saw there is some problems in the team, and we handled it pretty well and pretty smooth. And we arrived, and I felt like maybe we are not ready. And how we went game by game, we went to better levels, mm-hmm. And at the end it was so special because we leveled up so much in that 2 weeks. It was an amazing feeling, and how we won the quarterfinal, the semifinal with Mannhardt's last goal. It was a very lucky moment. So it's hard to decide which one's the best moment. I think this whole year, this whole travel, like how we lived the Prorecco and how we lived these 2 weeks in Fukuoka was this best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real sign of champions, I think, when you can reinvent yourself. You can see that you're not at the level, and you said about going back to Hungary and reinventing yourself and taking yourself to the next level, and it was amazing. Something you said at the beginning of this interview, you said, I always dreamed to be the best player in the world. You were born and grew up in Eger, a city in sort of the north of Hungary. Could you have ever imagined that as that young child that you would be a world champion, you'd be 3 or 4 times Champions League winner, and that you'd be recognized as the best player in the world? Could you believe that was going to happen, even if you wanted it?
I dreamed about it. That was my I grew up on the 3 times Olympic champions. I always my idol was Benedek Tibor, and I always dreamed about to be an Olympic champion. I don't know, this world champion and European champion was not in the dream, just only the Olympic one. But of course it's like the same. It was in my head that I want to be the champion. But I feel like I need this Olympic gold medal to reach my dreams. But yeah, when I was younger, I always care about I had to score the most goals. I wanted to be the best player. And you know, when we had these little tournaments in Eger or in Hungary, we always get these little trophies, the best player, the best goal scorer, the best goalkeeper, and I always wanted to be one of that. And it was a very interesting journey because I didn't have a good relationship with my teammates because I wanted to be the one to score the goal, so maybe I had more shots than I should do. And when I met with when I grow a little bit older and I went to the national team first time and I met with Benedek Tibor, he said, and I told this to him, that he asked me what's my biggest goal in my career, and I said I want to be the best player, and he said it's very nice and everything, and it's a good thing, but you can be the best when you don't care with this. Because when he was young, he had the same problems. He wanted to be the best, the goal scorer, the best. And he won the Olympic medals and he went better players when he realized that more important the team victory than the personal trophies. And after that, I realized that, and I want to learn from his mistake, was the same my mistake that. And now in the last years, when I start my professional career, I think about always this, that I don't care that I win an award or no, I just want to win. If I don't score any goal on the 2 weeks Olympics or World Championship, but we won, I'm happy, I'm good to do some assists, to do some defense. So he really changed my mentality in this.
And is that when it changed, or how long did it take to actually make that a reality? Because you can say that, but deep down you know you want to score, you know you want to be on that podium at the end with the MVP, but did it take time for you to actually, for that advice to sink in, or because your hero had said it, it was like, okay, well, Tibby's saying I have to do it?
No, I feel like I remember this moment like exactly that. We sat in the hotel room, we had a practice with the national team, we before my first national team against Georgia, and we speak about everything, and he told me this question, and I think after this conversation I had instantly I had this, okay, now I need to do what I become to a better player, to not focusing on myself, to focusing on the team, and it will be good. I realized that maybe it needs some time to.
And do you think that's what this last year has been? Because lots of people will say, Zielanki, maybe he did something different a year or two ago. But do you actually think reaching this pinnacle as being voted the best player in the world, do you think that's actually a culmination of all those years gradually building up rather than just one thing that you changed?
Yeah, I think for sure. I always thought and I believed it that you need to do everything, every step. Like, you can't be the best player just like I want to be and don't do the trainings and stuff like this. No, you need to, like, really step by step. You need to learn to swim first.
Yeah.
And after water polo practice, and after, you need to go on the ladder to higher and higher. And for me, the last step, I think this was to Proreco sign me. That step was after I had so much, I don't get this word. so much self-confidence.
Yeah.
After they signed me, because I was like, okay, my other dream was to play in Proreco, because Benedek played in Proreco lots of years. And I dreamed about it, and when they called me, it was a interesting sign, because I had one more year with the Ferencváros, but in the contract I had like like I can leave the club for a foreigner country, for another country. Mm-hmm. And when the Pareco called me, I was like, I need to do it. It was like a hard decision, but it was no question. Like, you know, it was hard to leave the Ferencváros and everything behind, but I know I had to do it. Mm-hmm. And when I signed there, I went there, I felt this mentality, what I told you, and I liked it so much, that how they trained. They trained so much harder than the club where I played before. So this one last, this is the, like the, not the last step, but because I need more step to
get there,
to be better and better. But this was the step I had to make to be now the best.
Mm-hmm. And you obviously have played for some of Europe's top teams, in Hungary and also now in Pro-Recco. It's really interesting that you talked about the mentality in Pro-Recco. How would you contrast and compare the atmosphere in Italy in Pro-Recco with maybe with Fradi or Eger or Szolnok or a team like this? How do you compare sort of the culture around the club, the culture around the league and water polo in general?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference was like how they practicing, like especially the water polo elements. Mm-hmm. Like the man up, man down, like just to how to describe it, like if you want to do a serious practice in Hungary, I didn't want to say any wrong about Hungarian clubs. I just can describe it easier, maybe, that if you want to do a serious like man up, man down training, you need to do like, okay, we have 10 men down, 10 men up, and who lose needs to pay something, or you know, like, or do a 100 meter butterfly or something.
Yeah.
Like in Pro-Recco, you don't need to say. They will do 100% every time, totally focusing on what you need to do. So it's like, it's so much for my first like half year was so hard. I was so tired because I had to focus on every training, because every training was like the hardest games. In the Pro-Recco, the trainings are harder, so much harder than the games, like really. And when you arrived for your biggest game, like in the Champions League final, it looks normal.
Mm-hmm.
To be on that level in mentally, on your head and your physically, that you know you prepared this for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
So and I try to tell this to the Hungarian guys, that when we need practicing the national team and I saw they may be not so serious, that come on guys, you need to do it first, and then you can do it on the games.
You spoke to the people, some of your teammates about, yes, this sort of thing.
Yeah, especially with the young kids.
Mm-hmm.
because the older guys maybe know this, they had enough experience, that but I think for the young guys need some advice about this, that you need to get the confidence in the trainings, not in the games, because of course they 100% on the games, they're focusing, they are doing everything hard, but you first need to do it on the practice. Mm-hmm. Because it will give you the steps that you have to make.
What's the most difficult thing about playing for Pro-Recco? Is it what you just mentioned, just the relentless training day in, day out? Is it the pressure, or is it something else?
Yeah, the other different thing is the pressure, I think. It's you really can feel that it's winning or nothing. Like if you are second, even in the Champions League, it's a lose. So they don't care about second place. And the other thing, that when we won the first, it's Italian Cup, then the championship, that we won the cup, and everybody was so happy. It was my first year. After I realized it's normal, but in my first year we won the cup and everybody was so happy and everything. And next day we had the practice and the Felugo, Maurizio Felugo, the president, came down and he said like, okay, it's very good that you won the cup, but like it's over, like not nobody cares, but now it's over, it's past, you need to win the championship. When we won the championship, okay, good, congratulations, but you need to win the Champions League. So it was like you know, this continuously pressure on you that, okay, you won, this is like the minimum level, that you won the cup and the championship, now you need to win the Champions League. And yeah, you can feel that on every player there, they're really nervous. You can see on the practices there some small fights between the players, mm-hmm. because they want to be in the team, because there is a few more players, some two or three players will outside of the first team. So first you need to be in the team and you need to do the practice well. And I think the main part of this Pareco, I mean, I don't know before because I just arrived with Sandro.
Yeah.
But I think Sandro is an amazing coach. And
I wanted to ask you about Sandro. I wanted to ask what his genius is, sort of what impact has he had on you? What areas of your game has he taken to the next level?
So Sandro is like, I think he's really good in connection like with this Pareco mentality. I mean, he played there, he knows what's up there, but I spoke with Luca Lonchar, that we asked him, that he was like the same as the coach, but because we didn't know him as a player, and he said that yeah, he was the same, like so focusing, silence, but like everything is water polo. When we train, when we are in the training, it's like everything just water polo. He didn't say you nothing twice, so you need to focus. He says something and you need to do it immediately. Our trainings are so like effectful, or
yeah,
like we can do a 1 hour 15 minutes training, but it feels like a 2 hour training. So it's like little warm up and immediately some practice, then doing some hard stuff. So it's very good, like the build, the training build ups. And I think he has this good match up with this Pareco style. And he's just like a water polo genius. Like I'm sure everybody know how good player he was, and he knows very well that what we need to do against some teams, some tactics, or he know about other players that he do this shot or that shot, or as a centers he doing like stuff like this or this, and I'm sure that he watching so many videos and preparing so good that we are like prepared for everything. And the trainings we going down, and with this mentality we can practice this so good. Like we don't need to play against, like just to say, like we trained against Barceloneta in this year, and we can do this practice matchup between us, and I think it's very, very good for Pareco that you have so many good players that you can play against yourself. Mm-hmm. That it's like a very good enemy to play.
Yeah,
and we can do this all year. And he uses this so good that we have games against each other so many times. And we play like games like it's a championship final. Like you don't need to put any price that the winner gets something or stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he did it sometimes, he put on price, but it was too
like
much.
What? Like what?
We in the first year before the Italian Cup, I think he was really nervous because it was his first cup, and he said that tomorrow we're gonna play a game, and the loser will pay the dinner after the cup. We go team dinner and the loser will play everything. And it was like the hardest game of that year. Everybody went totally crazy, like really, like it was, maybe somebody had some scratch, it was blood. And
but who won? Did you have to pay
no,
in the end?
No, I paid. I lost.
But it didn't matter if you won the Italian Cup in the end.
Yeah.
It's
just like really crazy how they can even practice on the game. It was like a Champions League game final.
I wanted to pick up on something you said. You talked about Falugo coming down after each cup and saying, okay, well done, but now on to the next one. Championship, okay, great, now on to the next one. I think this is relevant for you now. You've won Champions Leagues, you've won national championships, you've won cups, you've won Champions Leagues, all the rest of it, European championships, world championships. You said that last year was a near perfect year. And so really the missing piece of the jigsaw, as you said, is the Olympics. Is that what is motivating you to continue in the sport?
Yeah, it's, I can say it's sometimes really hard, especially with this mentality that you don't have any time to be in the moment. Like you have, okay, you have one night to celebrate, but after you have to go to practice. And okay, maybe this year it's crazy because we have the European World Championship, everything, Olympics in the summer. We are lucky that we are not playing in the European, the few Hungarian guys who is older. But yeah, sometimes it's really hard. This continuously just go practice for the next thing after, okay, you won that, but like nobody cares, you need to continue the practicing. It's really hard, but I try to focusing only the next step. And for me the next step is not the Olympics. First now I want to do the trainings in Hungary like totally effective. Like I want to gain some muscle, I want to be faster. So this is the next step after we going the World Championship, and it will be like a very difficult moment, I think, for us, because if we not gonna win, we need to stay in the same relationship with everyone, like now. And now we are working with this, with the psychologists, that's to be the better team. Because we realize that even if somebody is better than you, your teammate can help you, and we really need to focus on the team effort. That's really, we are going together. So if I see the big picture, it can be too much, especially this year, the World Championship, back to Reco Cup, Champions League, and then the Olympics. If it's just too much, so step by step, and to continue this sport, it's like I like this lifestyle that it can gives me. I like to live in Reco. It's amazing.
Place,
it's a peaceful place. Now I have a 2-year-old son, and it's very, very nice to live there. And
but who does he support, Italy or Hungary when they play?
sorry,
if Italy were to play Hungary in a match tomorrow at water polo, who would he support?
I support Hungary, of course.
Yes. Yeah.
so this is my motivation to be an Olympic championship, step by step. But now I can say that my motivation is play as long in Reco as I can. But I think it's not easy because of the pressure and the training, the high level of the training, you need to really like every day on your max level on 100%. It's not easy to be there, but I like this.
And now I have
my plans for the future. I can see I can go back to Hungary, but I will go back to Hungary as my plans. If I can be in the RECO as long as I can, to be in Hungary, to maybe go back to Eger, my hometown, and help to that club to be again one of the best. Because when I played there, we won the championship, and now they are not the best. They were very good in the until a few years ago. So this is my other motivation to help them and my plan. So I have this in my mind, but you know, I
good.
It's just a plan.
It sounds like we can keep you in the sport, which is something we're really grateful for. I just want to change the subject just slightly back to the Olympics again, and then we can and talk about some other stuff. Obviously, you're fortunate enough that you're not playing in these Euros. You get the rest along with you and several others. And the team that we see in Zagreb is a really, really young team, but my God, they're amazing, right?
Yes,
they are.
Yes, yes.
They're incredible. It must give you a lot of confidence that you can rotate so heavily and still have a team that is so great. But what I really wanted to ask you, all these young players, is it possible for you to pick maybe one, or maybe not the obvious ones that we all know, maybe some that we don't know that you see training a lot. Who do you think of those can really be extra special and maybe receive this award in 5 years' time or 10 years?
Yes, they won the world championship in the U19 or U20, I don't know, but they won the world championship, and there's lots of players from them, so they are really young and they have the future. And yes, we were lucky that we get the qualification for the Olympics, and we were lucky that we can manage this, that we have backup guys who can play now, and yes, they play really well. So I will curious that who can be in the Olympic team, and I can see on the other guys that it can be a big competition on some spots, that who can be in the team, which one is very good, because the same that in Pro-Reco, that it gives the practice on a higher level, because you need to compete on the training as well. And who can be the best player in a few years? I can see the future in Vince, Vigvari Vince. I like him. He's a very a badass guy. If I can say that he's not afraid of anyone. He's doing his best all the time, and he's very talented. He's got a very good technique. He needs to play a lot and everything, but he can be good. I just can see now that Tatra is very good as well.
Amazing player.
Yes.
Amazing.
This two is maybe my favorite. Yeah. I like them. I like them very much. So they practice with us, but I think Vince can. He was in Fukuoka too. Mm-hmm. He didn't play so much, but he was very useful when he played against Spain, and he scored a goal in the semifinal. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Tatra has an option to be in there, but I can see maybe if it's not Olympic, but after the Olympics, I'm 100% he will be there. Maybe before the Olympics, Rhodes is more like believing in the World Championship team, especially after this good 2 weeks. But after this, I'm sure that it will change a lot, and they will play more and more, and I will be the old guy. in the national team. So
and how does that make you feel?
I feel good, and especially after this Proreco experience, I feel like if I can give this mentality just a little of it, they can be a very, very good player, and maybe they can see this, that they need to play outside of Hungary, because it give me so much that it's different world and everything, different style, water polo style. So I think they, maybe not now because they are too young, but in a few years they need to
That's really interesting, because I think Hungarians have everything they need in Hungary, right? You know, it's hard for them sometimes to say no, and not go abroad. That's what I mean. So, but you would recommend playing in Italy, but anywhere else? Do you see the game being beneficial to their game? Maybe going to somewhere else. I mean, we've seen a few Hungarians go to France, and
I think the good thing is Hungary, that the league is very strong. This first four group, okay, the Ferencváros is over everyone, but after them there is four or five teams who can be in the top two, top three. So it's very big competition. And yes, how you said that in Hungary, it's perfect for every level. There is so professional clubs with good gyms, good swimming pools, like you can get everything. But for me, the good thing about that I came out this bubble, you know, like, especially if you are good Hungarian player, after a time, if you are getting older, you will be in this bubble that they try to protect you of everything. And maybe you can be lazy in this comfortable bubble. I can say any word. So you need to break out of your comfort zone to be better player.
You actually think it's important that you actually do that. It's not just something you'd recommend, it's something that you think should be happening. Okay, interesting. We're going to move on to some sort of finishing questions that some people have come up with. And the first one I really wanted to read was from Nicholas Prosciutti. He said, is it true that you cook a carbonara risotto?
Yeah, I'm cooking perfect carbonara risotto, and I know for the Italians it's like it's a very bad thing, because carbonara is only with pasta, but I tried carbonara pizza and it was very good.
Pineapple on pizza.
Yeah,
you know,
but they are growing crazy for this food. Then it's like they are too crazy about this, but yeah, and we speak with Nicolas. If they won the European Championship, we make goulash together in Recco. So good luck, Nicolas.
Yeah, maybe you can ruin his national dish. He can ruin yours, sorry, national dish. What's the thing in short that you love most about our sport?
Sorry.
What's the thing in short that you love most about our sport, about water polo?
I like the community, like we know each other, we are friends with each other, with the other teams, that we have a good relationship, and I just like the sport. About this, I don't know, I grew up, I always wanted to be a water polo player, especially in Eger. It's a big history of water polo, and in Hungary, I just like this tough sport that you need to compete in a water with your team. I like that it's so much team sport, that you need good teammates to be the best. I mean, I was lucky to be in the Proreco and the national team. These two teams is now the best. You need a very good team. You need a very good connection with these people to be on your top level. To not just self confidence, but you get confidence from them, that they're trusting you. So it's I like the stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Conversely, what's the thing you dislike the most about our sport?
I dislike the most that I think everybody knows about this, me, that I dislike the, like, not the referees, but how they are doing the referee stuff. I think it's too much pressure maybe on the referees. They have too much in their hands. They can decide too easily one game with, mm-hmm. maybe not, they wanted to cheat
just
for
a
the
mistake
other team
or
just
something.
A mistake, mm-hmm. yeah, and it can happen. They are humans, they can do mistakes. I just see that, of course, it has any sports, even in football there is some mm-hmm. some big mistakes, but maybe in water polo it's more usual, or maybe like a 4 minutes exclusion that was not 4 minutes or stuff like this, that it's hard to see when I watching a game outside of the water. It's I feel myself that I can't decide that it was an exclusion or a contra fault,
yeah,
because it's so much fighting. Mm-hmm. I don't know what would be the options for this, but I don't like this.
Your views on VAR, you think it's a good thing? You think the sport should have it?
Yeah, I think like with the video referee, they can make the referee's mistake,
correct
it. Yes, thank you. Yes, but they need to improve this mm-hmm. technique. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And even if they are looking the videos and after, it can be after this still challenging to say that it was a goal or not. So it helping a lot, but they need to improve it.
Mm. We got a question from a lot of people along these lines about what is the most important moment of your career, and we've got a list and you have to pick one, so you can't
okay.
You have to pick one. Your professional debut with Egger, your debut with the national team, your first Champions League win, winning your Olympic bronze, winning the European Championships, and winning the World Championships. Which of those would you say is the most important?
I think the most important now, but my first thought was the European Championship in Hungary,
mm-hmm.
because it was in Budapest in the Duna Arena, and it was amazing. Like, we won with penalty, with so I don't know how many thousand people, but it was an amazing feeling that we had a chance to win a medal, a gold medal in at home. So the other things was very nice and very, but that one, when I heard that thing, I know this is the answer, because it was just an amazing feeling that we can win a gold medal at home. Really, now if I think about that, it's just amazing.
Okay, this next question's a bit silly, but it's sort of one word answer, yes or no. Would you swap all of those for an Olympic gold medal, or would you keep them and not get an Olympic gold?
Yes.
You'd keep them?
Or no, swap? I'd swap them.
You'd swap?
I'd swap.
Interesting. It shows how important this is.
I think I'd swap them.
Mm. Everyone because wants to be up on that wall, Alfred Hajosh, with their name.
I think I'd swap them because, you know, the Olympics is just four year, and I don't know. Maybe I have this and maybe one more, because on the third one I will be really old. I don't know, I can meet that. So maybe I have two more chance to
win. So you're cheating.
Yeah.
You're cheating. You'll take the gold and try.
I'm thinking mathematically that maybe if I'm swapping and then I still have chance to win another European and World Championship. But I think that just the Olympic gold is the top of the top. Mm. So it's like, especially in Hungary, it's all about the Olympic winners. They're really legends. So
it defines a career, really. Yes. It shouldn't, but it ultimately it does.
Yeah,
it does.
But it's, if you win, you are something.
Mm-hmm. Very quickly, the best swimming pool you've ever played in, your favorite place to play?
It's in the Margaret Island. Mm-hmm. It's that unique pool, especially if they build the stands for it.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
And we had a few questions along these lines. A few people asked, how much do you think it helped you in your career to be left-handed? Do you think this gave you opportunities that you might not have otherwise have got?
That's a good question, because I think for starts it's helping a lot, because there is less left-handed, and I know I was talented and everything, but I know I get so many extra help from the coaches, because they saw that I'm a good left-handed, I can be a very good player. So at the start it's very, very, very helpful that maybe you get an extra eye on you because of this. It's like you are lucky because there is less left-handed, so I'm sure it's helping.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've got one last question. You spoke earlier about Egger, about maybe going back there. Do you think you'd go back there maybe to play, but after your career is finished, do you think you would coach?
Yes, I can see myself as a coach. And in my plans I had this, that I can go back, I can see that I play a few years, I know how it's going there, everything, and yes, it's maybe I have a few more options, but it's in my plans that I wanted to be a coach.
And if you were a coach, who would you say your style would be most like? Jean Varga, Sandro Sukno?
I would be another like Sandro.
You'd like to be like?
I like to be. It's not easy, but because he's really like how he's seeing the water polo, it's really hard. But I like that he's quiet, but so effective, and how he had the trainings there. So yes, I would dream about to be as a coach as Sandro.
Don't we all? Gergo, thank you so much for your time today. And I just want to say one more time on behalf of Total Water Polo and all the fans and people that have voted, congratulations on your award. It was very well deserved, and we hope to see you playing again for Hungary and in Paris, and hopefully your dream can come true. And I just want to thank you guys for staying with us, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Spotify. And as I said at the beginning, if you could like, subscribe, follow, wherever you're getting this podcast, we would appreciate that massively. And we hope to see you next time on the Total Water Polo Podcast.